you would find the scripture, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Let me read this to you. It says, after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. And the Lord, I ask that you bestow upon me any word of knowledge that you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, out of everybody on this campus today, in this room right now, I'm raised to another level of judgment, strict judgment. Your brother wrote in his word, chapter 3, verse 1, that those of us who teach are under a greater and a more strict judgment. So Lord, I recognize that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all today. Blessings to you. I want you to mark this down. I'm talking about Thursday, May the 10th, okay? Thursday is May the 10th. It's Ascension Day. It's exactly the 40 days after the resurrection. So put that in your calendar, your Evernote, whatever you do, write that down. Because at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you, give you two ways you can remember and participate in Ascension Day. And we'll be giving that to you at the end of the service. Last Sunday, I interrupted our series. Next 40 days, I interrupted it so that we could handle a little bit of our discipleship culture that we've had. And Trainer Joe and I did the sermon, and then we've been on that road, and we'll talk about that more a little later in the end of the service too. I'm going to give you four things today on what Ascension teaches us. We really don't hear too many sermons on Ascension. You know that we are gradually moving into our calendar year. We're adding a lot of things. Like we do Ash Wednesday, we do Lent, we do Holy Week, Thursday through Sunday. Doing something every day during Holy Week, Thursday on. We've moved into now after Easter, the next 40 days. We're handling Ascension. May the 20th is the day of Pentecost. We'll be honoring that. And then it won't be long till we'll be moving into other calendar aspects when it comes to the church. So we're back into our series the next 40 days, and we're focusing on the Ascension of Jesus. Here's the first thing that I want to give you today that Ascension teaches us. It teaches us about his reign, that he is king now and forever. Now, I know how Baptists can be. We think we've learned something, and then nobody else can redo that. It's like you got a tattoo, and we just have to scrape it off. And I'm going to scrape it off, all right, today. I'm going to challenge you in your thinking about the Ascension, because we skip over it a lot. And today, in the next three Sundays, actually, I want to focus on it a little bit of what Ascension really means. Here's the deal. If you're not careful, you think that Jesus has he's a spiritual king. And we could think that his kingship will happen when he comes back. But you need to know that he's king now, and he's king forever. And we're gonna show that. A lot of scripture today. If you're taking notes, it'll be best for you to just write down the scripture. You're going to feel like you've read the whole Bible by the time we're finished today, okay? So be paying close attention to that, because we're gonna prove our point with scripture that it teaches us about his reign, his kingship is both now and forever. It's not that he's going to be king, he already is king. It's not that it's going to happen when he returns, he's already king. Look at Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. We're going to walk through this. So if you have been raised with Christ the Messiah, seek what is above. Now look what it says, where Christ the Messiah is. That's where he is. He's ascended. That's where he is. So you have to seek what is above. He's seated at the right hand of God. You're going to see that phrase a lot today. It's a place of authority. If you really want to see God and Jesus on the right side, that's fine. But it's really a place of authority. Seated at the right hand of God. It says, set your minds on what is above. Why? Because that's where the Messiah is. That's where Christ is. Not on what is on earth. For we have died and your life is hidden with the Messiah in Christ. And we're going to hit this in another point, but you'll live your life paying attention to everything down here and your focus not be there. And as I live here, then where's my focus? Where am I fixed? My heart and my mind, my attention is where? It's where Christ is. And he's ascended. The ascension is very important to the story of the gospel. Look at Ephesians 4:10. We're going to talk about this place of authority. The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. We're in a moment going to get in the book of Hebrews, and you're going to realize how much scripture really points toward the ascension of Jesus. Look at Philippians 2, 9 and 11. I love Philippians 2. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Go back to the first line. For this reason, God highly exalted him. Can really even be a picture of ascension. Hebrews 1:13. Now, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, still declaring his authority, sitting at the right hand of God. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. I love this verse. And most certainly the mystery of godliness is great. He was manifested in the flesh, incarnate God becoming human, vindicated in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the nations, believed on the world, taken up into glory. Taken up into glory becomes another picture of the ascension. And then 1 Peter 3:22. Now that he has gone into heaven, ascension, he is at God's right hand, authority. And look at this. Don't run through this verse. Absorb this verse. He's at the right hand with angels, authorities, and powers are subject to him. So we're not talking about a future kingship. He is king now and forever. All powers are subject to him right now. So when you seek Christ, we're seeking where he is. I'm going to live life down here, but don't be absorbed by this life. Don't be absorbed by it. We seek where he is, and where he is with the Father, and he's at the right hand of God. He's in a place of authority. Second thing we're going to learn is that the ascension teaches us that Jesus ascended as a human. Now that sounds kind of, I don't know, I didn't know how else to do that point. Incarnation is incarnation. He's never left it being flesh. God became man, and he never left that. The incarnation is not over. It was a physical life. He died a physical death. He was raised in a physical resurrection, and he ascended as a physical body. He didn't ascend as something spiritual. He ascended physically into heaven. Look at Acts 1:9. We've already had this, but we're going to go back there. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching. A cloud took him out of their sight. Physical ascension. What does that mean to us? What does it mean that his ascension was human? Well, it's really a picture of our ascension. But not only our ascension is the life that he's called us to, which I'm going to, I can't wait till I get to the end of the sermon, but it's not the same reason as you. You're wanting to go on to other stuff. I've just got a point I'm excited about, and I can't wait to get there. But your end of the sermon and my end of the sermon probably has two different meanings. But we're called to live an ascended life, and his ascension is a picture not only of one day our ascension, but of the life that we live here. Look at John 14:2, and just think of this in human terms. In my Father's house is plenty of room, many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. Look at this. I go away. What's he talking about? Ascension. I go away. Why do I go away? It's for you. The reason he goes away is for you. For me. You know, we'll have the gospel story just stop at the cross and the resurrection. It doesn't stop there. It just keeps right on going. I'm going away. Why? Because I'm preparing a place for you. I'm preparing that place. It's for you. It's going to be my thoughts, his preparation. Everything is on us. He's preparing a place for us. 2 Corinthians talks about, and that verse that won't come up on the screen, but it talks about that our body is just a tent here, and that we would rather be with the Lord. And it's just a picture that Paul's whole being wanted to be in ascension, wanted to be with him. Here's the third thing that it teaches. The ascension teaches us that the sacrifice, his sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus is finished, and it is acceptable by God. He has accepted it. We're going to be in the whole book of Hebrews here, and it's going to seem like I read the whole book of Hebrews, but I just want you to feel it. Okay, I don't want you to read it. I want you to feel it, how so much of Scripture talks about the ascension. Look at Hebrews 4:14 and the ways that they describe it. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, who is Christ, who has passed through the heavens, that line is about ascension. He's passed through the heavens. And our high priest is Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to the confession of him. He's passed through the heavens. Look at Hebrews 6:20. Jesus has entered there. What does entered there mean? Guess what it's talking about? Ascension. He has entered there. On whose behalf? Say our behalf. On our behalf, as a forerunner of us. It's a picture of our ascension. Because he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It is our ascension that he's talking about there, his ascension, but for us. Look at Hebrews 9:24. For Christ the Messiah did not enter a sanctuary made with hands. That's the one that was on earth. And the one that was on earth was a model of the one that he is now in. So the model of the sanctuary here was an earthly model of where the Lord would be heavenly, only a model of the true one. But into heaven itself, that he might now appear in the presence of God, say it, for us. Hey, listen. If somebody is placed for you, by golly, aren't you going to look there? I mean, what if I said I was in the middle of Fayette Mall and I had 10 $100 bills and they're just for you, but you got to come find me. By gosh, you'll be all over the whole mall going, where's Jeffro? Have you seen this man? And they're going, that looks like Brad Pitt. You're going, no, 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 it's not Brad Pitt. It's my preacher. You're going to look all over for me. Why? Because I've got this for you, right? I got this for you. And if you're going to live life, you're going to think the world has stuff for you. The world has stuff for you, all right, but you don't want it. So I'm going to live life here, but where's my heart and my mind? It's there. Why is it there? Because that's where he is. And he's just not there for himself. He's there for us, on our behalf. He's there for us. Let's continue on. Look at Hebrews 1:3. So the Son is the radiance of God's glory in the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How did he get to that place of authority? Ascension. And he's at that place of authority. It's not that he's going to be king. He's king now. He's king forever. Look at Hebrews 10:12. I'm having fun doing this with you. But this man, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of the God. The right hand of God is a picture of ascension. What is he doing there? He's got a place of authority. He's not going to be king. He's king now and forever. In Hebrews 12:2, a lot of you know this one. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. The right hand of God is a place of authority, but it's also a picture of ascension. How did he get there? He ascended there. Why is he there? He's there because he's king now and forever. What is he doing there? He's there on our behalf. He's there for you, and he's there for me, which segues into my last point. The ascension teaches us that he is sitting at the right hand of God, sympathizing and interceding on our behalf. I want you to look at 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have somebody who is there for us, and that advocate is with the Father, and he's Jesus. And he is the righteous one. Why is he there? He's there for our behalf. He's there for us. He's our advocate. Look at Hebrews 4:14-16. We've handled 14, but we're going to go into 15 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, ascension, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. Look at 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. We go to the throne of grace boldly. Why? Because he's there. And why is he there? To say that he's there? Well, he's king. He's king now and forever. He is going to be king when he comes back, but he's already king. His ascension is his kingship. And why is he there? He's king. What else is he there for? He's there for us. What does he do? He sympathizes. He intercedes for us. And he's going, Jeff didn't really mean that, Father. He just didn't really mean that. He's advocating for us. He stands in the gap for when we fall short of the glory of God. Who stands in the gap for where we fall short in the glory of God? He does. Who makes up the gap? He does. He is there for us. From there, he directs and empowers his mission. He calls you. He whispers your name. He empowers you. He sends the Holy Spirit to you. The work of the Trinity is beautiful. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all working on your behalf. You know where sometimes I just want to grab you by the shirt collar? Not you ladies, just the guys, okay? I'm very protective of women. So just the guys. Because dadgummit, You think the world is going to do that to you. And the world is not going to do that to you. And you run from the Father. You run from the Son. You run from the Spirit. And they're all here for you. And you run to all kinds of other stuff. And it's going to eat you up. It's going to consume you. It's going to spit you out. You run from what's best for you. And run to other stuff. You got to understand the Father and the Son and the Spirit are here for you. And he ascended. Yeah, he's king. He's on his throne now and forever. But he's there working on your behalf even as I speak. He's on your behalf. I'm reading a book by Stephen Siemens called The Unseen Real. And there's a quote, and this whole book is about the ascension. Steve Siemens is a professor. He lives at Wilmore. His dad, David Siemens, has a ton of books on inner healing, which is an area of mine. And I actually know his son and lives in Wilmore, teaches at Asbury Seminary. Anyway, in his book is a quote from A.B. Simpson. It said, "Christ ascended to the right hand of God that he might lift us up into an ascended life." And where you might like the quote, let me go on with it for a moment. Here's where I'll probably start preaching. You know, when I drive, I look out the front window, you know? I hope you do too. Yeah, I use the side mirrors, I use the rearview mirror. But I'm driving, I'm looking out the front window, right? Noticing, you know, I've got to make turns and stops and living life, right? And you live life. We've got stuff to do every day. We've got a to-do list, whether it's on your phone or literally a piece of paper that you go by and you check things off. I got to do this today. I got to remind me to call this. And, you know, we live life. Good. But just make sure that your total focus on life is not here. That was in the first section of scripture in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It's not here. As I'm doing what I do, where's my focus? It's there. Where's my heart? It's there. Why is it there? Because that's where he is. Why is he there? Because he's king. Well, what's he do there? Everything he does is on my behalf. All of it. And here's where I'm going to ask you to quit describing your life this way. Because I want to go back to the quote, Simpson's quote. He might lift us up into an ascended life. What does that mean? Here's the way you will describe your life if you're not careful. Was peaks and valleys. Mountaintop experiences. Man, everything going my way. Everything's great. Boom. Life happens in the valley. And then you'll go, well, it's a fruitful time in the valley. That's where I grow. I agree. I think you grow with tension. It doesn't matter where that tension is in your life. I think that's where you grow. But we would say basically that valley experiences are tension experiences. And that's where we go. Life is mountaintops and valleys, and mountaintops and valleys. And you've got marker times all through your life of mountaintop experiences and valley experiences. But I'm going to ask you to quit describing your life that way. Because what Simpson is trying to say here, packed with all the scripture I gave you today, is this. From the day I surrender my life to Christ in Summersville, Kentucky, I've been living an ascended life ever since that day. It's not mountaintops and it's not valleys. When I came to Christ down here, I started living an ascended life from that moment on. Not mountaintops and valleys. Jeff, what's your life? Mountaintops and valleys? I could maybe explain life in the natural that way, but in the supernatural, it's not that way. It's an ascended life. From the day I was saved, I surrendered my life to Christ. You know, knowledge doesn't give me the ascended life. I know people who have scripture memorized, and that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But that doesn't mean their ascended life has a greater steep incline on it than ours and yours. This is not about knowledge. This is about from the day I was saved to the day I enter glory, my eyes, my mind, and my heart has not been looking at this earth. Even though I live life, where's my focus? There. Why is it there? Because he's there. Why is he there? Because he's king. What does he do there? I can't explain it all to you, but it's all for us. So what life am I leading? Peaks and valleys? No, I'm living an ascended life. And that's what Simpson's trying to say there, that my life is an ascended life. We celebrated the girl's birthday yesterday in Julie and Laura. In Julie born May 5th, Laura born May the 5th. Julie had a grandmother on her daddy's side, born May the 5th. She had a grandfather on her mama's side, born May the 5th. Four generations, May the 5th. It was a big day. Ask me if yesterday was tough. Go ahead, ask me. It was tough. Why was it tough? Tom's not here. Was it tough? Tough. Is Friday night tough? Tough. Tom's not with us. In my earthly mind, I could go, Tom's not with us, and it just brings the grief. But if my mind is set there, and why is it there? Because he's there. What's he doing there? He's king. What's he doing as king? Well, whatever it is, it's on our behalf. I know supernaturally in my faith that the Father has Tom. Did I miss him? Yeah. But even though yesterday could be a day of grief, with my earthly mind thinking that Tom should be here, I have to realize that my mind and my heart are set on there, and there's a greater truth there than there is right here. And so even though Friday night was tough and yesterday was tough, guess what? It's not a peak in a valley. I'm still living an ascended life. Who sent the power to get us through yesterday? He did. Who directed the Holy Spirit for a double portion? He did. He did. What's he doing? I can't explain all of it, but it's for you. It's for you. It's for Tom. Tom just received it earlier than the rest of us. I'm not saying that to make you, me, or our family feel better. It's the truth. Tom has his reward already. Do we miss him? Like you can't imagine. But no, it's not yesterday was a valley. I'm not saying yesterday was a valley. It's still an ascended life. I want you to be able to see this. Now this is, I was excited. I know you're probably wanting to go. And you do know the double mission of the new chairs, which will eventually be through the whole building, is that we're blessing Andrew's church with the black chairs. Plus I get to preach longer because these are more comfortable. So that's the shadow mission. Let's look at Psalm for a moment. Psalm 24. I want you to look here. We're talking about gates and doors. But he still is saying for the gates and the doors to what? Look up, rise up. It's still a picture of ascension. Look here. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, rise up, ancient doors, then the King of glory will come in. Who is he, this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So we focus where? There. Why? He's there. What's he doing there? He's king. What else is he doing? Well, whatever it is, he's sympathizing, interceding, advocating. He's directing the mission of the church. He's doing all that from there. And we are a part of that, and it's for us. Amen. You receive that today? I pray you receive that today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time together today. Bless us, Lord, and forgive us for having just earthly vision sometimes of life as mountaintops and valleys. Forgive us of that. Help us to realize and to know that you have called us to an ascended life. From the day we surrender to the day we step into glory with you, it's a day of ascension. We're rising above what life on earth is called life. You've called us the Zoe life. It's a life that's beyond biological living. abundant living. Thank you for that. Help us to remember, Lord, that not only is your death on the cross and your resurrection from the tomb, but your ascension is still part of the gospel story that you've called us to an ascended life too. And we thank you. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being our Shepherd. We thank you for being our King. And all that you do is for us. It's on our behalf. So Lord, direct us, empower us. May we realize our focus and our attention, our heart is on you. Thank you for all you've done for us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. We extend an invitation for you to come and surrender your life to Christ today. You may have never done that. Today is the day to be saved, and I know the Lord can call you right now, just in this service, but he's probably been calling you way before you got here today, and I'm just going to ask you to answer him, if you will. And then if you're a believer, we ask that you come. There's counselors in here that'll pray with you and for you. If it's physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial, just come. Let them minister to you. We offer communion during our invitation. And in our communion, the bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it into the drink, and before you eat it, remember his sacrifice and give him thanks. And maybe even thanking for that he's called us to an ascended life. The invitation is for you. It's this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spots? And as Chad leads us, you respond, you come.